Welcome back to Overdunk, everybody. Your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. I honestly forget the episode number, but don't worry, I'll get that in post. But this is going to be our World Championships for Season 2 prep show, mega show, prediction show, whatever you want to call it. We have, of course, the trio that is always here, Doosnax, Ven, and I, who is Zoinks. But we also are joined by a special guest of Junkie. Junkie, it has been a long time since you have been on the Overdunk podcast. Some would say yes. Too long. Some would say not long enough. But you are here and still. Thank you so much for coming to join the podcast. Junkie, if you could just give a quick intro of who you are and kind of what you do in the competitive Unite community.
Sure. So I would say in season one, I played competitively in North America, made, you know, all the monthly finals except I think for February because we had scuff seeding and ended up firsting the second and third seed. Still clearly not over it. And then sure. So I would say for Worlds season one, I coached now they're Talibobo / Time to Shine, but it was Apprentice Unite team with Gek, Zervez, Shelvin, Klaus, and Zante. And then after that, I then begun to coach Time to Shine, which was Gek, me, and Shelvin. And then by the end of regionals, we had 11 different teammates that have come into the Time to Shine banner. A discovery that Ven made that I found hilarious, that we actually broke the Pokemon website, that when you looked up Time to Shine, they didn't have it programmed for two pages of people to be under one team. So when you try to click the second page of people that have been on Time to Shine, the website just crashed, which is beautiful and wonderful. So then Time to Shine, we made Worlds, awesome run. And then I got hit up by LG about working with them for Worlds. They gave me an offer I couldn't refuse. Gek and Shelvin understood until we got in the same group. And now it's just like, well, just of course. And yeah. So that's where I'm at right now.
It's actually wild that the two teams you have coached this season are in the same group for Worlds. The chances are so extremely low, but yet, Junkie, you have somehow pulled the most unlucky card. Absolutely unreasonable for you, but, well, I'm happy you're there. But
we somehow pulled simultaneously the most unlucky and the luckiest card, because I think we got the easiest group of any NA team, but we also got Time to Shine.
Yeah, it is true. So I don't know if that's shade at Time to Shine or if that's just you're comfortable with all the other groups, but we'll have to see. Now, Ven, obviously, you're now co-workers with Junkie. You've been working with the team for a little while now. How has the preparation for Worlds been for you in the last like couple of weeks? Like, is the team scrimming a bunch? Are you taking a break and like, gonna scrim more invert, like when the whole team's out there? What's kind of the general vibe for the squad?
You know, this question is actually a little bit better directed at Junkie, because I haven't been in most of the scrims. I have a 9-to-5 job in Mountain Time now, and that means that I don't get home until like 8 p.m. EST, so you can imagine how much of a pain in the butt that is for me to actually go up to every scrim.
And you're in Mountain Time, which is like a made-up time zone. That's tough.
True. It's entirely fictional. Everybody who says they're from Mountain Time actually doesn't exist.
I knew it. True. I knew it.
I am not real.
Okay. But I do know you have been doing some scouting on other teams. You have been working on your... I'm assuming... Well, actually, let me just ask you, is it mostly focused on just your group? Is it focused on kind of teams you deem as a threat if you do make it the top 8 bracket? Like, where's the kind of your focus when it comes to this?
The number one focus is within our own group, obviously.
Okay.
The number two focus is looking at the top teams from the regions that I think are strong.
Cool.
Which would be, to be fully transparent, I think both the APAC regions are really, really good. Obviously, EU and A are really, really good. I didn't need to do like that much scouting into like Brazil and stuff because I'm already pretty well aware of their meta. We scrimmed a lot.
Yep, that makes sense. Scrim partners and all that you got some download information.
Then, a little bit of research into Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell asleep at work while trying to watch an India VOD.
Okay, well, all right, well, we'll take that on the chin. Deuce Next, you have also been doing some prep for the World Championships, obviously. I know you're a fiend for casting. That's one thing I will vouch for you, for everyone listening, by the way. No one has any idea how much Deuce Next practices casting. Like, no one can fathom the amount of times I ask Deuce Next, like, hey, you want to play some Unite? He's like, actually, would you want to practice some casting? So I've definitely been hit with that one quite a bit. So perfecting your craft, but also researching these teams. How has that been going in terms of, like, preparation for the World Championships for you, Deuce Next? How you feeling?
Feeling decent. I think us doing the region coverage stuff has not only helped you and I, but of course, helped shine a light on some of these regions that certainly folks that tune into this show might not be as familiar with, which has been great. And then I do a lot of solo casting practice, and that's kind of how I've immersed myself in some of these other regional finals. In terms of prep for me, you and I were kind of talking to Kello about this the other day. It's like, you know, the last tournament we have VODs on isn't necessarily representative of what we're going to see at Worlds. So it's really about working on digesting information on the fly, processing it, and making correct assessments, or at least solid assessments based on what we're seeing. So I've just been practicing that a lot. So less focus on getting into the nitty gritty about regions themselves, and more just practicing, again, kind of like information download in the moment, and processing that and getting correct things said out of my face to the folks that'll be listening at home for Worlds. So that's really where a lot of my focus and work goes.
Makes sense. Because
that's what's important for my role in the, on the casting desk, you know?
Yeah, people always talk about, like, in a new meta tournament, every team that can adapt the most will be the most successful. But no one remembers us who have to try to adapt and read and see what's going on the screen and not absolutely beef it on broadcast in something incorrect. We also have to do that download of information quick, but with a lot of different teams at the World Championships, it's going to be cool to see that playstyle sort of be differential on stage and stuff. That'll be interesting. But speaking of which, though, you just mentioned a great point, too. Next. It's been a long time since we've had an official tournament of any kind. There's been a few community tournaments here and there to kind of showcase a little bit of metagame, but it has been officially announced in some discords that Mewtwo is the only ban headed in towards the World Championships, so the meta is going to be pretty wide open, almost brand new for North America EU or most TPCI regions, seeing as we had a lot of other bans to join that. Junkie and Vent, can you give me like a bit of a meta breakdown by chance of like what's currently going on, at least from what you've seen in scrims? You don't have to give away the secret sauce or something that that LG's been cooking up, anything like that, but are we seeing, like, what are we seeing a ton of? Is there anything that's surprising you that we're seeing none of? Kind of stuff like that. Junkie, let's start with you.
Italian is OP.
Yeah, it seems good. It seems really good.
That is one very strong, versatile attacker. I think that's like an obvious thing to say.
Is it ever to the point where it would elicit bans, or are those still defender focused from what we've seen?
I would say it is worthy of bans.
Okay.
I think it's ban worthy. Cool. I think there's certain
worth banning on first pick. Banning it on second pick's a little sus.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's a good shout.
Yeah. I would say there's definitely certain comps that if the enemy team gets Italian, you just cannot do your win conditions anymore. So I think it is really, really strong. I also want to shout out Mewtwo being banned because, oh my God. That, like, I was legit. No, I was worried. Like, I was kind of like worst case scenarioing it, like, that it would be legal. You know, I was like, in my head, in my heart of hearts, I thought it was a legit a 50-50 chance of it being legal.
Right.
So I'm very relieved that it's not, because I think that actually would have, like, destroyed the legitimacy of this Worlds with how strong that character is, so I'm grateful for that. I would say Zacian being like legal for the first time is pretty cool to see. I think that's also a very interesting pick. It's not as broken anymore, it's more well-rounded and balanced, and you can't just like slam your head into your pro controller and like dive tier one and like kill three people and like be at 100% HP. So I think that will be interesting to see it be used more strategically. And then I think Leafeon is like the last one that I think is going to be interesting. I think both builds are viable, and I will be interested to see when certain people will choose certain builds against which comps.
I'm a little bit of the opinion that Solar Blade is too risky to play. I don't know if I'm off base on this, but from what I've seen, Razorleaf is just so versatile and like good. And I think it has more skill expression than Solar Blade that personally, I think we're going to see like happen maybe throughout the day or so. We're going to see some Solar Blades, but I don't think they're going to be successful. Does anyone share my opinion or am I a little off base? Am I too afraid of Leafy on Solar Blade?
I think it's strong.
Okay. I mean, it's powerful. I'm just worried it'll be exploited. Like, I think bad Leafeon players will be exploited by messing up Solar Blade. That's basically what I'm concerned about, I guess.
I feel like it's a bit safer than Razorleaf. I feel like it depends, like, I guess, let me think of my phrasing here. Like, sure. It depends on how, what role they see Leafeon playing in the team comp, mm-hmm. but I think it is one of the safer attacker slash, you know, kind of assassin-y type of Pokemon. Yeah. I think, like, there's not, like, compared to, like, let's say a Buzzwole, which, like, obviously kind of, like, a different type of Pokemon, but it's, like, once you go in, you're kind of in and you're stuck mm-hmm. with Leafeon and, like, Solar Blade. It's, like, you don't have to commit too much. You can kind of, like, weave in and out of the fight just with, like, getting chunks out and things like that. Obviously, it's not, like, as reliable as like some of the crazy Pokemon that you're right. just going to see at Worlds. People are going to be playing Inteleon, Venusaur, that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think there are comps, especially, I think there are situations okay. where it is very good. And I think I'm almost leaning that you might see Solar Blade more than Razorleaf.
Okay. All right. That's fine. We could definitely disagree on this. That's cool. Then before you jump in, I'm curious, Doofsnax, do you have any Pokemon that you think from what you've seen? I know you're playing a ton of ranked as well. Like, is there anything that you think is going to be a big, maybe not even surprise, but like we haven't seen in a minute kind of be a big deal, or maybe something that was a big deal that you think has kind of fallen off headed into this world's meta?
I think I kind of already made my called shot on that, which was that NA with like the Blissey resurgence. And I think that sure. just kind of rides high. I think that keeps pressing forward into Worlds. Mm-hmm. But to speak to Leafeon and why I think Solar Blade, to Junkie's point, will be relevant as well, is Leafeon strikes me as a character when using Solar Blade. It kind of lines up with Zacian. It's going to be incredibly good into teams where you have large skill disparities. So
interesting.
If you are a team that is much better skill-wise across the board than another, Leafeon with Solar Blade is going to absolutely decimate that squad. Sure. I think if it goes into Razorleaf, that's where you actually want, where there's less skill difference between the teams is where you'd want to go. So you do have more skill expression to be able to have a little like more of we'll say finesse, I think is the word I'm looking for. Whereas Zacian doesn't have that. That's why I kind of expressed Leafeon to Solar Blade is why Zacian, because I think Zacian is going to be hilariously strong in teams with huge skill disparities, and I think it's going to be a paltry mess when mm-hmm. you have when you reduce that window because it's so predictable. So that's what I wanted to touch on with Leafeon on the Solar Blade. NEIC, again, that Blissey call-out that I had there, I think was kind of what I was sussing on the resurgence. I think that'll kind of stay there. Mm-hmm. Inteleon's a good call-out. I mean, I think we have a lot of great Pokemon that have been added to the game. Obviously, Mewtwo is standing. Going in, that is going to shake this thing up. And, of course, Umbreon looks to be very strong as well. So
yes.
Be on the lookout for Umbreon. But I don't think that's a surprise or, a spicy call by any means.
Yeah, it just seems to be kind of the new kid on the block. All right, Ven, how about you? How are you feeling about, I mean, I know you just said you haven't been in scrims as much, but I know you're definitely aware of the metagame and you're talking to players constantly. So how about you? What are you thinking? Is there something on the rise? Is there something on the downfall? We haven't talked about that too much. Is there any Pokemon that we've kind of seen in recent metas that we think just isn't even relevant anymore?
I think that I don't expect to see much like tree battle. Like it was already kind of on the downswing, but then like now Umbreon's in the game, so now you have like that many better defenders than it. I don't think I'll ever see play, except maybe in like some very rare like either tree top or like counter pick comps.
Ooh, okay. Tree top, I feel like it's been years. Well, it's been since last Worlds, kind of, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
seeing that Pokemon, so.
Hoenn, I think, is the name they actually use for UCS. Like, has played it during this season and
interesting. In scrims. Okay, cool.
Not like recently in scrims. I'm not like gonna leak that. Okay. But I mean, like, I know they've played it, or like rather, I don't know because I haven't checked those recently.
Sure.
But makes like, sense. I know they did play it during the season.
Yeah.
And there's like other teams that did too, but I think that largely NAIC meta is going to just be expanded upon because the patch isn't that different.
Yeah, I think numbers wise, it was a bit of like a cold water shock. But I think when the pieces fell, it's not an entirely huge different patch, I think. But
yeah,
can't say that in a YouTube thumbnail. I'm just saying. I don't think it changed all that much.
Nothing changed. Nothing exciting. Click another video.
Clicking, yeah. Move on, please.
Overdunk 77. 50 minutes of nothing changed. It's all the same. Please tune in.
Like,
ad rev is on. Tune in.
Oh, click. Luca's gonna be relevant. Luca's definitely going to be relevant.
Ooh, okay. That is really exciting. Okay, what part about, is it the Unite move? Is that all it took, do we think, to put this Pokemon in relevancy?
It's so disgusting.
The Unite, it is really fast, man. It's sick. I like it a lot. Okay, that's really cool. Now, Deusnex, I know you and I are both a pretty big fan of, well, Celine Dion herself, obviously, but also Wigglytuff. And this is relevant, don't worry. Do we think that Wigglytuff at all will have some resurgence? I know it's definitely been a pocket pick of a lot of Eastern teams. So do we think, like, Special Attacker bot path with alongside Wigglytuff, is that going to be relevant at all? Any hopium for the Wigglytuff fans?
So I think East is going to keep rocking it because it works into specific strategies that they move to. The only real teams I've seen lean into Wigglytuff NA-wise in the last bit has seemed to be TTV. Zubrug does enjoy that character quite a bit. So if you are a Wigglytuff stan, you better pin your hopes on the Eastern region in Zugrug, because I think a lot of other teams aren't necessarily going to price that in necessarily, unless it's going into like some sort of, you know, pseudo off tank type role that maybe hasn't been explored with some of these newer Pokemon. So
Amaterasu moved Roland to top lane, so no longer does Amaterasu play it now. Now Nudo's in charge of defenders.
That's such
a bummer. Yeah, we'll have to see. Okay, I think that is a pretty good roundup discussion on early thoughts on the metagame. Obviously, we're kind of just reading the clouds here at this point, but is there anything else we want to throw in before we jump to the group stage discussion? No, perfect. Let's jump to the group stage discussion. All right, we're doing a scene change and Deusnex. Yes, your camera is so messed up. How did that happen? Okay, we'll fix it.
It just needs to be slid down. No sweat.
I don't know why this happened. All right.
Mostache, I think you're talking about Liz. We were just watching that coverage. It's Legends Reborn. That Liz was crushing it on that on that Wiggly.
Yeah, unfortunately, they didn't make it to Worlds. So. That's what Wiggly sings when running at you, by the way. It's that exact tune. Yeah. I wish. No, I'm pretty sure that's Goodra sound that they make. Okay. Yes. I have the World Championships group stage on our screen. It is there now. We can see it. Group A, Group B, Group C, Group D. I don't know if we haven't even gotten the chance to discuss this group. Wow. Okay. We have not gotten the chance to discuss group stage at all on this podcast since we took last week off. So Group A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and H. That's right. To start things off, if you've been living under a rock, the World Championships are going to have 8 groups in day 1 with only one team making it out of every single group. And then those teams will move on to day 2 to play in a top 8 double elimination bracket. Very exciting. Just to start this discussion off, because I've seen some discourse about 8 groups is great, 8 groups is terrible. Just kind of back and forth. A lot of people have some strong opinions on this one. Personally, I think this is due to having only 2 days of competition. Mm-hmm. Only 2 days of competition. We need to pick a winner within 2 days. And therefore, a round robin stage with groups of anything larger than four with this many teams, I think would be impossible in terms of time. There's just not enough. There's not enough time in a day. So this is where we came to. For the teams, this is definitely stressful. This is going to be, however, it is going to be a very, very, very exciting environment as a spectator and fan of Unite. I think as a spectator esports side, this is going to be absolutely sick. Every single game is going to matter. It is going to be very intense, very exciting. Yeah, anyway, that's where I'll drop that discussion. Any initial thoughts on group stage, though, the reveal that there's going to be eight groups, anything like that, from the rest of my three guests here I'm with today? Okay, yep, good thoughts, Junkie. Thank you.
No, I told, even when I was on Time to Shine and they were, like, speculating on what the group, I said it was going to be eight groups. I was just like, they're like, oh no, ads. I'm like, there's actually no feasible way they can get this done in 2 days if there's not eight groups. So yeah. I think it personally didn't surprise me. I think it is the best answer to the situation that we're in.
Sure.
Some would argue it's a self-imposed decision by the organizers on not having Unite be 3 days, but I think if Unite's going to be 2 days, it is what it is. I think it just obvious my heart broke when Group G got announced. I was like in the middle of work and I like my phone was vibrating, like I thought someone died. Like,
oh my gosh.
It was like everyone just like either like LOL, haha, like oh my god, no thanks. And I guess just if anyone's coming into the stream late, I worked with Time to Shine all season long, got them to Worlds with Gek, Shelvin, Ware, Auk, and I think we're, and then Lunder, and then we have Young Leon as the sub.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved over to Luminosity about like 3 weeks ago, so kind of like in the middle of Worlds prep. And yeah, they're both in the same group. So my dreams of us both being in the finals are crushed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of, that like I feel like that's the only thing I can kind of hyper focus on, but trying to remove personal bias aside, I like that they made sure that teams from the same region can't be in the same group. I think that was incredibly smart, because I know something from last year that frustrated me and a lot of other players was that they organized it kind of east and west for most of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, well, what's the point of us all kind of getting together, clashing the metas and things like that? So I'm glad that I think they learned from that feedback. And especially now that we have more seeds from different regions, more interpretations and things like that, I think it will make the groups all that much better. And I think it's just going to be really spicy because it is round robin, best of three. You get one shot at this. Anything can truly happen. And in my opinion, this is the scariest part of Worlds for me personally.
Yeah.
I like, knock on wood, when LG makes finals, I will still probably be more like anxious about how this goes, because I think there's a lot more variance in this. It's the first day. Some teams have been there longer. Some teams are getting there sooner. I think trying to adjust for all those kind of external factors, stage fright, anxieties, just kind of building up momentum, I think is a huge thing. And I also think some teams like need that ramp time. I know when we first announced as Time to Shine on day one, we beat them with like a team that we put together like 5 days before the event. And then day two, they like, we beat them. And then day two, they came back with Avengers and like looked completely different. So I think it's going to be one of those things where a lot of teams are going to have to really prioritize, you know, kind of strats that may catch people off guard and will force them to have to adjust in the moment. And I think that's to one of your points earlier, where if you can't adjust based off of what's happening just in, within this own bubble, I think a lot of teams may, you know, fall. Like, I think this, like, it's one of those things where I think anything could happen. And I think for a spectator, it'll be very excellent, but I am curious about how they're going to be streaming things and which games they're going to pick or not.
Right.
Because I definitely think there are some games that I know a lot of people are like, these are must watch games. And I know from Worlds last year, there was definitely some feeling of like we missed out on games we would have like loved to seen or that were really hype.
Yeah.
So I think that's like my only concern about eight groups is just how they're going to execute on making a smooth broadcast where I think to y'all's, you know, credit can carry out storylines, carry out narratives, like do justice to the teams and not like have to almost like cut and pivot every 45 minutes to an hour. And you don't get to kind of follow things, you know what I mean? Or like kind of get to do regional narratives and things like that. So I think there's just a lot of interesting stuff kind of still in play.
There's definitely gonna have to be some working out of that. And I mean, while we go through these groups and everything too, we can definitely talk about like, hey, I think this group this game is gonna be the game of the group. I definitely think that could be part of our discussion, but for sake of time, let's jump into our group discussion. We're gonna make some selections here and everything like that. Let's just kick things off for audio only listeners. We're gonna start with Group A, of course, and Group A is gonna be Team Peru from Latin America South, Team Secret Ship from Japan, Team Three Stars from Korea, and Team Hoenn from Latin America North. So just for everyone to know, Team Three Stars and Hoenn are both second seeds from their regions. Secret Ship and Peru are both first seeds from theirs. But yeah, let's get this kicked off. Ven, why don't you open up the discussion about Group A? Do you think there is a strong front runner in this group in particular?
This is one of the three groups, in my opinion, that is really, really hard to predict.
Really? Okay. Okay.
They're not like hard to predict, but like is actually like quite difficult.
Yeah.
Like all these games are going to be down to the wire and pretty interesting. I think all these teams are pretty similar strength. Obviously, you know, like two first seeds and two second seeds as a group will do that. But also, I think just generally speaking, like Secret Ship, Peru, for what they noticed. Or, like, they used to be Q-Lash before the Org dropped them.
Right.
Hoenn, like, all those teams are known for playing some pretty unorthodox stuff.
They are. They really are.
So, like, especially going into a new meta, it's going to be weird. Like, it's really going to come down to who plays better on the day and who has the better read. I can't, like, predict anything in this group with above 50% confidence.
Okay. I like that. Dude's next. What are your thoughts on Group A?
I immediately lean towards Peru and Secret Ship. Peru, we are fairly familiar with them. At least you and I are Zoinks, because there's a lot of Clash, Q-Lash folks on this team. Is that not Peru?
Yep, it is. Yep.
I'm very familiar with them. I researched them for a significant amount of time last Worlds and then didn't get to use any of that information because they didn't make it.
Yeah.
So,
same. In case people forgot, we were also in the same group as LG at last Worlds. So it just, destined.
I mean,
star-crossed lovers.
Clash has been literally grinding this game nonstop, you know, through Unite Mike's Mayhems as well. So getting to watch them quite a bit is nice. And I just think Secret Ship also kind of stands just a little bit taller than Hoenn and Team 3 Star. So if you're going to put my arm behind my back, I'd defer to Peru and Secret Ship. And if you're really going to twist me and try and make me say something, I guess I would go Secret Ship out of Group A.
Okay. My vote is also going to be Secret Ship out of Group A. Have had two interesting seasons now with kind of middling success throughout the season and then huge regional spikes both times around. Obviously, World Championships for them last year didn't go the way they wanted, but this year they're looking really good. Their new top laner that they just added to the team, Omion, looks really, really good. And it comes from like a lot of other competitive games. Personally, I think Secret Ship is going to have the edge here. And I think Peru and them are going to be quite close, but I'm not going to lie. I know that Secret Ship is the most popular team in Japan by like a pretty wide margin, and we are playing basically in their home crowd. I think there's going to be an element of stage nerves, one, but I think a bigger one is going to be just literally the home team. And I think that is going to be what I think will push them ahead. So two votes for Secret Ship. Junkie, how about you? Who do you think in Group A?
Secret Ship, number three vote. I think it can't be underestimated that They have no adjustments to make when it comes to time zones, lag, comfort. I also think they have more stage experience than the other teams in this group. I'm almost positive, which I think also speaks to, I think, an external factor, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I think that's also something really important to keep in mind, because it's very easy to look at these teams like not in a vacuum, but when you're watching them compete from home, it's just different. They're different people that can show up on the day. And I think that's something that, like, I've personally had to focus on and coach at times, is especially with Time to Shine, like trying to prepare them to perform on stage versus, like, you know, my normal prep is like more analytical and like gameplay related. Mm-hmm. But for that, like, the big payoff was like focusing on those external factors, because just being able to stay calm in moments, be mentally kind of strong, can win you on the day. Because like y'all said, it only matters who's strongest on that day.
Right.
And sometimes that just comes down to who won't crack, who won't, you know, give into that pressure of something if your game plan isn't going right, et cetera, et cetera. So I think Secret Ship is super duper strong. And I think those sort of things will give them the edge to have the advantage.
I am also going to do this. I decided after we finish discussing each group, I am going to give that group a title. And I'm going to call this one the parody group, because I think they are an extremely close group. We're making the call of on group A a lot based on intangibles, right? So I think that does lean into the fact that group A is quite close, as Ven was saying. Okay, let's jump to group B. Dupes next. RRQ, Exoclan, Nouns, and Orangutan. This is one of my calls for the most close group on paper. I think it's extremely close.
I agree. I kind of feel, and somebody can check me on this, that Orangutan kind of had like a rough back end of the season. Is that an accurate statement?
Well, their season's weird, right? So they had three tournaments to try to qualify for regionals. They qualified in the first event, but they got second place, and then they got second place again in their regional finals. So second is what we're calling their rough one. So
yeah, air quotes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So not as bad. I mean, there's so much balance. I'm actually just looking at the rosters here. I mean, you know, Exoclan certainly has can be a spark plug as well. And if you like objectively look at this, I mean, you have like Z-Ray, Ice, you know, these are two players that have had world stage experience last year as well. I mean, everybody here has had stage experience except for Exoclan, at least has some players that do. Mm-hmm. This group is tough.
I could jump in.
Yeah.
I honestly think one of the biggest storylines or question marks in this group is, can RRQ, Exo, and Orangutan, can they beat Nouns? Like, that is the question for me. I think Nouns is like the pace car in this group. Like, they're literally the runner up from last Worlds. They are an excellent team. They have had some highs and lows, but their lows are still just so consistently good that it's hard to call them really that far down. I think third place at regionals is the like kind of worst defense they've had so far, but they also are an extremely solid team and they've performed amazing across so many events. So I think it's going to be the question of Exo, Orangutan, and RRQ kind of measuring up to that point. So I personally think Nouns is the safe choice. However, I would not fault people for grabbing any of the other three teams.
I just want to float out there on that note is Nouns has had, in the two stage events we've seen them, had terrible first days in both of them.
Okay, that is true.
And in this one, you don't get to have a bad day, right? Oof. You can't like limp out of the group in second. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. No, that's very true.
So that's a mental check for Nouns, right? That's on, you know, Blaine to get that squad sorted, make sure they're up, ready to go. You know, really flip their mental and make sure that we're getting the Nouns esports that dominated all of the first year, and not the ones we've seen maybe kind of Worlds day one and then had a wake up call, or EUIC day one and then I had a wake up call. So I can't put my vote anywhere. This one's so tough.
Okay.
And I think you could, like you said, make an argument for any group.
Okay, cool. I mean, this is one of the biggest toss-ups. Let's jump over to Ven. Ven, what? And we'll close with Junkie here, but Ven, what are you thinking about Group B? Do you share the same feelings that Deucenax and I do about this being one of the most competitive, or are you not feeling that way?
I actually think that RRQ is, I would assume by default, they are on par with Nouns.
Yeah. I don't know if you got to watch too much. I know you were said you were watching some of them. Their draft looked excellent. Every single yes. time I was watching it, I was like, dang, RRQ is like really playing this smart. And
the
I think
APAC
that's
regions
be
have just generally been so impressive. Like they are mm-hmm. like really, really, really strong regions.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, I would pretty much put it of a toss up between those two. I think Orangutan is a very close third. And then who invited my man Blood? That's all I'm going to say about EXO Clan.
Okay. Sure. Okay, but your vote first is going to be RRQ. Interesting. Okay, I like that. Junkie, how are you feeling about Group B?
I'm gonna be an orangutan believer.
Wow. Okay, shout out to the ACL, baby.
I think this day one format could really favor them, and I think they have the most upset potential.
Oh,
and
man.
And I think if the stars align on the right matchups, depending on who versus who first and who gets that ball rolling and that confidence and things like that, I could see it. So that'll be like my one like spicy thing of like I could see them pulling off the miracle. I think they're still the underdogs,
okay,
but they're one of the better positioned underdogs to pull off an underdog.
What would you say is the safe bet then between RRQ and Nouns?
I love Blaine. Blaine is like my fellow coach and also fellow gay. So we just like rant about like all the like trials and tribulations of like being, I think, like the two most active coaches in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he and I like aligned a lot on philosophies when it comes to preparation and things like that. So I want to lean Nouns because
okay.
I think Blaine being there, them already being in Japan, I think will give them the right time to get prepared. And I would like, if I had to place money, I would put it on Nouns, but we don't have to place money and we get to be spicy. So I'm going to lean Orangutan. Just
can I float an idea real quick, Zoinks?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. If we are all unanimously agreeing that EXO Clan is the weakest team in the group, is the team that wins the group the team that faces EXO Clan first? That gets the nerves out of their system against the worst teams and then gets to ramp up off of that. Instead of like going
that's
through.
Pretty good. That's pretty good.
I didn't
good.
Want to say it explicitly, but.
Okay, that is true. Now, I think. All right, well, we can't talk about that enough, but yeah, I mean, that is a good shout. I think that might be a good way to describe this. Deucenax, you haven't given a vote. I'm going to give, we have one vote for Orangutan, and I believe, Ven, your vote was for RRQ, right?
Yes.
My vote is also going to be for RRQ, so I think that's going to kind of solve our who actually I get to circle on this graphic question, because Deucenax, was yours going to be for Orangutan or no?
It was not, so I get to take the run with the tail between my legs and I have to say anything.
Okay.
There you go.
Why won't it let
this
me?
This is for the next group.
Oh, I see. Okay, so we're going to put this on Group B. Also, does anyone have a spicy name for this group or should we give it up to chat? Should chat be allowed to decide?
Three men and a baby.
Like
that's a movie,
kind
right?
Of like gave
three
them the
men and a baby. Jeez, you're coming for OTE.
Three and a half men. I think you're thinking about like Three and a Half Men. Is that the
no?
The
there's
show?
Like an '80s movie that's called Three Men and a Baby. I swear to God.
Oh my
it has,
gosh. I don't know if I feel comfortable naming this group that.
If you look at this is
who invited Blood is pretty funny.
No, we're doing that one for the next group because I've already made the meme for it.
Whoever beats Nouns is not a bad name for the group.
I was gonna say either who versus EXO Clan first or whoever beats Nouns.
All right, I'm just gonna put whoever beats Nouns because I don't want this graphic to be that grief. Okay, that's all I'm gonna say.
They have to support the podcast and the VOD to hear the grief.
Exactly. Like that. That's so true. Yeah, then they can hear the slander coming from. Wait, why does it say noins? All right, hold on. Whoever beats noins.
Let the record show I'm also the largest OC supporter out of the collective four of us, okay? It's okay to take to throw punches and have some fun with this stuff. It's a world's preview show, and we all just said we think they are the not the best team in the group. Somebody has to be last in every group. That's how it goes.
That is true.
Everybody pumped the brakes. They won the region. They're a solid team. They made it to Worlds. They just happened to draw an absolute burner of a group. 3 Minute a Baby is objectively funny, and it's a great reference. So everybody calm down. It's
objectively funny. Okay, group.
I think they got second in the region for the record. But
RRQ?
No, EXO.
No, EXO got first.
Yeah, they default back to first because Legends Reborn didn't make it, and Iceman was third.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, that's what I meant.
You are right, actually. That is a good point. Good call out. Yes, they got reverse swept by Legends Reappear. All right, well, that maybe tells us all we need to know. Group letter C, again, for audio listeners so I can read them out, Tallyboba Believers, 00 Nation, Oyasumi Macro, and Iceman. Yes, this is the group of death. Poor Iceman got thrown to the wolves by EXO Clan because they were supposed to be in B, but EXO had already taken that spot, and they got thrown into Group C. Absolutely ridiculous. Yes, Group C is a bloodbath. In fact, I'm already just going to name it. I'm going to name it the bloodbath.
I might have to contest you on that narrative, though, because for those that remember Worlds Season 1, there's a young group of hopeful Europeans that were expected to do pretty well in the tournament, but they got Iceman in their group 24 hours before they had to play.
It is true.
And so when we were making the groups, actually we were like talking, we're like, between LG, Tali, and Time to Shine, one of us has to get Iceman to get revenge for World Season 1. So I think this is such a banger, actually, like the narrative story.
Yeah.
Of like, they have the history of doing upsets and showing up on the day. So I think I would throw them in with the Bloodbath umbrella.
That's some energy. I like that. All right, Ven, go ahead.
Well, apparently, according to Twitch chat, Iceman is playing with two subs, so good luck with that one.
Well, I know they're playing with one sub, but to be fair, the sub is the original member of the roster from last year.
Yeah, it's Pengu, baby.
So it's even more the original story that Junkie's putting out.
Listen, this team's been prepping by playing some Dota 2 and grilling out. Listen, I'm a mark for Iceman. I'm a mark for OC overall. I think there is, to a Junkie's point, a very real possibility that Iceman just balls out of control. And, you know, just, you know, I mean, Zoinks, you call it the F it we ball energy, right? And they're like, okay, let's pick this. And everybody's like, oh, no, idiots. And then they, you know, take a Zapdos with a Scald Tick. You know what I mean? I mean,
69 damage. Let's go.
It actually was 69 damage. That is so insane. Oh my gosh. It was the perfect story. We couldn't have wrote the script any better. Okay, that's a fun narrative in this group. I think the other one, by the way, that I haven't seen very much discussion online, is just the name credibility. Wow. The name credibility of Oyasumi Macro has definitely been carrying them pretty far. This is a team. This is Mame's new team. It is a team full of players that were dominant in Japan last season, but just fell a little bit short before getting to the World Championships. They won the winter tournament, the one that was right before ACL. They didn't play in ACL because, you know, T2 played and Mame wasn't on that team anymore. So, I don't know. There's a lot of talk about Oyasumi Macro. However, they did get fourth in their regional tournament.
Yeah.
Which...
And I'll also throw out, it's not a great sign when two players on your team are beefing on Twitter.
Correct. That's what I was going to say.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
Yo, Iceman stocks through the roof, baby.
That's what I'm saying, dude. That's what I fucking say.
Oh,
like from what I understand, because I don't speak Japanese, obviously, there was like legitimately threats of one person just like potentially quitting the team right before Worlds. Like, it was pretty crazy.
I did see that. I did see that on Twitter. I mean, people are asking to spill the tea. Literally, just go.
I mean,
it's
literally
tweets.
On Twitter.
Like, just go to Mame's tweets. However,
Mame is very open about it.
Very true. However, I did see that the tweet from Mame today that they're all meeting in person. Like, yeah, can't stop them saying it as well in chat. They're meeting to all together in person in like a day. So hopefully the beef is stamped down. It's on the grill.
So like, okay. You left off the additional tweet he put under that, that only four of them are leaving alive. So no. I think that was important. For
the bloodbath title is even more true now. Perfect. I feel good about this group C. Okay. So that's the OSU macro storyline. 00 Nation. Let's talk about them. I mean, this is the run back for them for, you know, having an unfortunate performance at Worlds last year. This is their chance to do it again. And they got thrown into what I believe a lot of people have as the tournament winner favorites of Tally Bobo. How are we feeling about 00 Nation? I mean, obviously first in their group, but they did that via a reverse sweep. So obviously things got a little shaky somewhere in the tournament. What are we thinking about Mazo and company here?
Always believe in baby Mazo.
Okay.
Never doubt the baby Mazo. Charm and
magnificence. Effortless beauty. I mean, there's a few that we could shout out for sure.
But just in all seriousness, I've had the privilege of working with Zervis and Klaus. They're two of the best players in this game. Love them as people, friends. They're good guys. I know, like, the day we got kicked off of Worlds, like, they were talking about what they're going to do next year for Worlds. And, like, that has been, like, the laser focus since that day. So it will not surprise me if Tali goes flawless in this game, this group, excuse me. I think they are incredibly scary, competent team. I trust Zervez and Klaus to lead them to victory, and I don't see them having as much upset potential as possibly Nouns. Okay. But at the same time, no one predicted Apprentice to have upset potential, and just shit happens. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they've had more in-person events, so I'm like, I don't think it'll happen. But again, that's like the curse and magic of a best of three, just single round robin, that stuff can happen.
Okay.
But I think, to your point, Tali is like one of the strongest teams in Worlds, if not the strongest, according to some people. And I think it will be very interesting games to see if, you know what, actually, I think my key takeaway is I want to see if there's any weaknesses that can be discovered against Tali in this group. Ooh. And if those things will be exploited in day two.
Okay.
That's what I'm curious about. That'll be what I'll be looking for.
Okay. I like that a lot. I guess, yeah, now the discussion at this point that we've sort of talked about each of the teams at least a little bit, the question becomes, can any of these teams beat Tali? Do we genuinely believe that 00 Nation, OSU Macro, or iClan, and I'm not talking about like an outside underdog chance, I'm asking if we are favoring any of them to beat Tali in terms of a prediction. Can anybody pick one of these teams that we should honestly circle instead of Tali Bobo? I don't think so either. I honestly think I should circle Tali Bobo right now.
I think that while we're calling the group a bloodbath, I think that we're thinking of the wrong kind of bloodbath. The more I think about it, the more I expect this to be Lambs to the Slaughter.
Sure. Maybe it's more of like the cutting room floor, you know? Like it's a lot of good teams, but they're going up against Tali.
It sucks for 00 Nation again, because they are, and they would have like, I guarantee you, last year they would have gotten out of a couple of the other groups, but they just happened to be in the group with the second NA seed, first EU seed.
Let's do a quick rapid fire on Group C. Everybody pick one team that you think could make it outside of Group C other than Tali Bobo. Vet.
00.
Okay. Junkie.
Oh, Asami.
Okay, Deuce next.
You know where I'm going, baby. iClan, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. Trust. This is how this works. Tali Bobo drops to either 00 Nation or Oyasumi Makaro on some goofy-ass stuff, and then iClan body bags a 00 Nation and Oyasumi Makaro and gets out on tiebreakers. Oh, that's God. Where we're
Hell
at.
Hell yeah.
Let's go.
Okay, that is one thing we haven't talked about very much that is tiebreakers. I think it's working the same way as all the tiebreakers have worked in terms of groups throughout the entire year.
Pengu's goated. Just because he's coming back returning player badge in Pokemon Unite doesn't mean he doesn't have like 17,000 hours in Dota 2, baby.
Bro actually thinks the returning player. That's really funny. Okay. If I was to throw a vote, I'm throwing mine towards Oyasumi Macro.
If you want the best story out of Group C, you want iClan to leave Group C. If you want the best story in the group.
Back, Dupes next.
How have we all forgotten iClan's secret weapon, Kilosaurus casting?
Oh, that's so true. They may have lost the E in OCE, but they gained a caster representation. What a trade. Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, Tally Bobo, though, snuffing this group out.
Yeah. Okay, Group D. Let's jump into it. We have Actjil, Fusion, Amaterasu, and Brazil. So Actjil is the number one group out of Group D. This is the team with S4L on it, so returning player from last year's Korean team. Team Fusion, obviously we all know Amaterasu in NA, and then Team Brazil. Team Brazil is, were they from or true? From,
I think they were true.
True Esports, true. You're right, it's True Esports. So they were True Esports, unfortunately, no org backing for this World Championships, been unfortunate, but they're going under the guise of Team Brazil. Yeah, let's start with initial thoughts from Ven on this group. Talk to me about Group D. What are we thinking?
I think that this is probably out of all the NA there are like groups with NA teams in them, ASU is got the second easiest one.
Okay.
I don't think Actjil is that much like of a cut above the rest of the Korean competition. I already think that that Korea is like a tier below the other Asian regions.
Yeah.
Just generally.
Yep, I agree.
And then, you know, you're dealing with Latin America North, which is a team style and meta they're already very familiar with. And then same with Brazil, right? Like, ASU works best when they, can play something they're comfortable with against things they know how to play it against.
I think and that I don't is such a good read on ASU. I think that having, defines that team really well.
I don't see them having much of an issue in this group.
Yeah. I think that's a really big credit to that team. Also, like, Latin America North is a region that is like really defined by a lot of skill picking Pokemon, right? Like, they just like literally try to outskill and win. And when you're going up against players like Trainer, in a battlefield like that, I am terrified for your team. So my vote is Amaterasu. I think yours is as well, Ven. Junkie, how you feeling about Group D?
I love Trainer, another fellow gay.
Shout out.
He's one of my buddies. I really respect him. I think he...
Oh, sorry, Junkie.
Junkie.
You cut out. I think you said you loved Trainer, and then we lost your audio. Just start from there. You're good.
yeah. Trainer's cutting my internet, actually. I'm not allowed to confess.
Okay.
Fair. My bad. I think Trainer is, in my opinion, the most valuable player to his team in the West, of any Western team. I think he is the person that has the largest impact on his team's success than any other Western team.
Wow.
So I think it will be a matter of Trainer performing and or other teams doing enough preparation and VOD review to see how Trainer plays, the habits and or poor habits the team has, especially when it comes to Rayquaza and things like that and punishing it. So I really think this group will be a matter of who does the homework or not against Amaterasu.
Okay.
Because if you don't, I think they will definitely perform well in this type of environment.
Okay. Deusnex, any vote for anything outside of Amaterasu, or do we think they're kind of the clear-cut winners of Group D?
Clear-cut winners in my book for Group D. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just don't think Epe, Chobo, and S4L out of the Korean squad, Actjil, has enough firepower to take down ASU. So fork them, I guess.
Oh, it's just so funny to me that the university literally has an esports program. Like, the coincidence that they landed on that one is just... Incredible. Okay, Group E. Again, for audio listeners, this is a group with TTV, Team MYS, MJK, and EU's Team Peps. One of the most interesting groups in terms of seeds. So TTV is seed number one out of North America, or is... Yeah, they're seed number one of North America. But MYS and MJK are both seed two, and Team Peps is seed three, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Getting second place at regionals.
Getting second place at regionals, right. So having a crazy good spike at the right time. That being said, regionals was months ago. But still, a team that's working out really well. And hey, now they're getting sponsored, which is kind of cool. Let's talk about this group. Ven, why don't you kick us off? What are you feeling about Group E?
Group E is the single, like, handedly most brutal group in this entire thing. Like, yeah. Oh my god.
There are some good teams in here.
Like, literally four out of four of these could be reasonably predicted to be a favorite in different groups.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Team NYS is comparable to the Renaissance team that got third last year.
Yep.
Did they get third or fourth? They got third. And that's scary. Like, that's really, really scary. Mm-hmm. MJK, you know, Japanese teams are always a bit of a wild card. They're a little unpredictable. Yeah. But they tend to play up to the competition, and Team Peps was on a hot streak, and I don't think that, and I don't like see any reason for that to stop. It's pretty crazy. I am personally predicting Team MYS.
Okay. Team MYS of APAC West. Interesting. Okay. APAC West is a really tough, I know Danilee is like literally in chat right now, but we did our VOD review with them. APAC West is a tough one for me to predict because RRQ won that grand finals like so handedly against Team MYS, in my opinion. However, it's one of those games where Worlds qualified teams are already chosen. So it's really difficult. And MYS has so much stage experience too. So I think I'm undervaluing them a little bit here. I think, oh man, Deuce Next, I got Peps or TTV. Which one do you favor in their specific game?
In between those two teams?
Yeah, if those two teams play.
That to me is won or lost on the draft screen between these two teams.
Ooh. Oh, if Kelly picks Gengar, is that what you're saying? Saying we'll make Ruby lose?
Sure. But like, I think there's just like specifically like Kali on that Wikiblow Urshifu, I think they're literally some like astronomical stat, like 14 out of 15 secures on objectives when they have that Pokemon. Like it's astronomically high. You know, but then you also like Team Peps has like bizarre variations.
Yeah.
And they are the most, again, F it, we ball team, certainly in this group. Because a lot of people, yeah, like you look at like TTV and like the Venusaur pick, but that was
MYS that were paying kind of attention. Also F it, we ball, actually, to their credit. They fair, have some fair, pretty wild fair comps too, but
yeah. But speaking between TTV and Team Peps, like, sure, you know, you look at TTV with this Venusaur thing and kind of where did that come from, but if you were paying attention to what they were working on leading up to that event, it wasn't that big of a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But Team Peps will literally look down the row, and we've seen it, and go, I'm going to take this. And everybody goes, okay, let's ride. And then they just this was like back against the wall, game three against Talibobo Believers. They just had an amazing game, and they're not afraid to just lay it all out and go fly in the face of convention to try and find a new way to win. So I do think between those two teams, it's on the draft screen.
Okay. It's crazy. Team Peps is sliding in as like the fourth spot in this group. Like, it makes it so competitive with that. It's crazy. Junkie, talk to me about Group E, because I do think this is one of the most competitive groups. I was saying on Twitter that B and E are definitely like the, I think, and then Speediest Chief made some joke about like breaking and entering. I don't know. But anyway, B and E is definitely the ones that I think are the most competitive. But Junkie, talk to me about Group E. What are you thinking?
I think Team Peps. I think that,
wow, okay,
they are a team that we have a lot of experience with throughout our EU journey as Time to Shine. I think they have a lot of momentum. I personally love the storyline going into it of them having beef with TTV. I think it makes spicy for us as viewers.
It does.
And I think that is like the fire under their ass that they need to like just go like ape shit, I think, in groups against everyone. And I think they will throw off a lot of teams based off of how they play, because it's not typical. They do some unusual things in the moment that catches you off guard. And I think if you're going to groups with like nerves and stuff like that, and those sort of things happen, it's very easy for teams that may quote unquote be stronger on paper to underperform. Mm-hmm. So I think, and also it might be a little bit of group B syndrome, where depending on who the matchups are could really dictate what happens, because I think both TTV and Team Peps are going to be teams that will benefit from momentum severely, especially like heading in before their match. If they are the first match of the day against each other, I think that will be really, really interesting. But yeah. I would say I lean Team Peps. I think the format of the day favors them, and I feel like they are good matchups into the other teams.
Okay. Okay. So what, one over Team Peps.
I want to say about one last thing I want to say about Team Peps is they are the highest level team that looks the most scuffed in some games. Like, they get just goose egged more than I've ever seen, which is just something I needed to throw out there, because it's so bizarre to see them. You know, literally, we've seen them do it against Talibobo twice now, where they get absolutely scrubbed for no points in game one and then like win a game two. And especially in that regional finals was just an absolute barn burner of a match, too. Uh-huh. So I don't know. That, like, literally the most pendulum of teams, right? It's crazy.
They are. Oh, but in a group stage where only one team makes it out, Doomstack's like, okay, we have one vote for Team MYS. That was where your vote was going, right, Ven?
Yes.
Okay, Junkie is saying Team Peps. I personally am saying Team TTV. If we're going to talk about momentum, I think winning the most recent competitive Pokemon Unite or official Pokemon Unite tournament on a live stage in person is something that momentum is going to carry through. So I personally think TTV are the strongest team in this group, and I would put my vote towards them. But that does mean, Doopsnacks, you were the decider, unless, of course, you were choosing Team MJK, which, fun story fact for anyone who hasn't been watching our VOD reviews, Team MJK, or rather Japan as a country right now, they're having the conclusion of their high school tournament the weekend before Worlds, and only one player on any of these Japanese teams is a high schooler playing in this tournament, and they're on Team MJK. It's like they're tank slash top lane player, and they're gonna literally play in the high school championships and then in a few days play on the world championship stage, which I think is really cool. But
that is a very cool storyline. Yeah. But everybody that knows anything that has listen to this show back against the wall, everybody knows I go homer mode, so I am gonna say TTV in this instance, of
course. Even after all that gas on Peps, we're going TTV.
Peps is without a doubt my dark horse team. I mean, I've been waiting for Peps to like transcend, right? Because I feel like they've just taken leaps and bounds every step of the way. There's one thing that kind of grinds my gears about NA teams outside of Amaterasu, really, is like, man, do NA teams ever just stop talking? Like, ever? It almost seems like every
Twitter,
team,
you mean?
Has every team has one player at least that just won't ever shut the fuck up. Like, please, just like, it's the most volatile group. Everybody, it's like a Rolodex. Whoever's gonna win, you just pluck a card out anytime, but all of a sudden everybody's the best in any given month without really like having any sort of like levelized consistent results. Please just stop talking and win the world championships, because like China's coming in next and we're gonna lose these opportunities. So can we like focus up, please? Like one time, please.
Okay.
One time.
Yeesh. Oh my gosh, that's great. Good mic drop on that. But however, we have picked 2-for-2 NA teams so far, so maybe we are in a tough situation. But that's okay. China gonna be fired.
We'll confirmed.
We'll do everything we can for now.
Fire Nation about to be resurrected out here. Mm-hmm. Come on.
All right, Group F. This is
hold on. LG doesn't really talk. Liminator, you are banana lands. You are banana lands.
I don't know.
You either don't listen or cannot read because they are always talking. They are
Illuminator. I agree with you.
Well, okay. You. I want to say maybe they mean like in game, like with their cams on stage or whatever. Maybe that's what they're referring to.
If that's what you mean, then I retract my statement. If you mean as to like what I was talking about,
no, like even that, please. Like. Are we not aware of Kyrios popping off so hard during one of the games he disconnected Rin's monitors?
Oh my gosh, dude, he probably disconnected Roland's phone backstage when he did that. I don't know.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. Anyway, Group F, let's move on to it. This is made up of OMO Abyssinian, I believe, or is it a... I've been told Abyssinian, but I've also just read it as Abyssian before. But Abyssinian makes more sense. There's two eyes in there. So APAC East top seed, OM Abyssinian. UD Vesuwan from APAC West. This is the team Old Guys, by the way. If anybody has been following our old coverage, this is team Old Guys. They got picked up by a sponsor, I suppose. Team YT from North America. And then Stamina Esports from Latin America South. That being said, we did have a post from one of the players on Twitter today from Stamina Esports saying they haven't been able to get the money for travel. They're trying to get some sponsorship money, things like that. They said they're the favorite of their group, but also we most likely will not see Stamina Esports there. However, if you think they're a favorite to win this group, we can absolutely circle them. But I don't think anybody is thinking that for this one. But let's talk about Group F. It's definitely one of the groups that I have the most question marks around. Like, UG Vesuwan was the third seed from APAC West, and while I think the vibes are high, I don't know. I think the clear matchup is OMO Abyssinian versus Team YT. I think that is that's the game. That match decides who gets out of this group. Is anyone disagreeing with that? Yeah, cool. All right, we're on the same context. Cool. I guess then who does everybody have? Deuce next. Do you have OMO Abyssinian or do you have Team YT making out of this one?
You know what I'm going to say. You know what I'm going to say.
Is it YT?
It's YT. Give me my boy Pika Diff.
We're
going to
do
four
wholesome. For four NA teams. This is, oh no. Okay.
Pika Diff is going to be coach, by the way.
Yeah. I saw CSE asking in chat. Yeah, Akilo is going to be playing, which I think, like, Akilo's Hoopa game is absolutely sick. I think that's a really cool addition for that team. Yeah, Team YT be playing. Unfortunately, Decidueye, the unfortunate detrimental nerf, coming for them. So maybe Sam will have to go on to one of their other 20 comfort picks. Maybe some Guardi from Sam.
They're good. They're good.
Okay.
Akilo has inherited the TOS curse. No matter what, he must get fourth place. He got fourth in the season. He got fourth at regionals. He's going to get fourth at world.
True. It would be a crime if they did not. That is fair. Okay. Ven, are you also saying Team YT wins this one against OMO Abyssinian?
I think this is probably the second hardest of them. I think OMO is, like, both of those teams are really, really talented.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that YouTube brings something to the table that I don't think they're used to. YouTube plays in a way that I don't see, like, any other team play, and
yeah,
that's weird. They kind of have always done that, but more recently it's been, like, really successful for them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, true. They can't, and also YouTube probably can't get fourth in the group because Stamina might not make it. So yeah, they're gonna get fourth.
They'll manage somehow.
so yeah, like I, but like no meme. Like I genuinely like, I would put it like 40-30-30, but NA bias YouTube.
Okay. Wow. All right. Junkie. Actually, before you talk about it, so we can make it a bit more interesting, I am actually going to pull for Abyssinian in here. Now, I know I am a Team YT fan. However, Spraggles always makes fun of me that I literally never predict them to win ever. And unfortunately, that's holding true here. I personally think OMO is going to be the team that, or odd man out, Abyssinian here. I think they're going to go. I think beating teams like Orangutan and like teams like Talon, who's a sponsor team as well, like defeating old guys in their region is enough credit, and getting first place is like something that I think speaks a little bit louder than Team YouTube's fourth place at regionals, which is the reason that I would be voting them out of this group. Personally, I don't think APAC East is that much worse than NA, like to the point where their first seed is worse than our fourth seed. So that's where I'm going to stand on that one. But Junkie, how about you? Where are you going with this?
OMO.
No way, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think so. Interesting. Did I sway you?
No.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I was going to say, but I appreciate my co-conspirator.
Okay.
In the spirit of not having four NA teams and making us look like absolute grief stars when it comes to selecting stuff, I will flip to Omo and say that the Zoinks soapbox convinced me.
Okay, I'll take it. I was about to literally flip a coin, but we can do this too. Abyssidian is gonna get the vote.
What, you don't want to get called racist like Sneaky and I did last year?
Oh geez, yeah. Well, hey, listen, you did say some stuff that was a little impressive, but it's fine. We'll move on. Okay,
what?
Group F. We do need a title for Group F. So if anybody in this call or in chat has a good title for Group F, please let us know. And we'll use that. Anybody with initial
wait,
thoughts?
Can it? Oh, wait. Like, can we do like Omega Who, but like Omo Mega Who? Like, you just, the Omega, they're just gonna.
How am I
Omega
gonna do
Who
that?
Check?
How am
they're
I gonna do like, that?
Like, Omo Ega Who? I don't know. Like, you just changed the E to an O. Like, they're gonna Who check everyone. I don't know.
Yeah, isn't the group just
spot,
F's?
Right?
I like that. Just F's in chat. Just.
Okay, sure.
F.
F's. In Phil's chat. We'll just do F's in chat.
F's in chat. See, Jen got it. See, look, your very intelligent Twitch chat understand who I am.
That's good. Wow.
Omoga who.
Okay. But that sounds like I'm insulting the team I vote. Whatever. Group G, what's up? We are now within two of our hosts. Here's literal home team. Group G is SAUL Esports from India, Team Tambourine from Japan, Time to Shine from EU, Junkier, X on that team, and then Luminosity for Region North America. Luminosity getting a last draw too. That's kind of crazy. But you got pushed out of E and
we
F,
got pushed.
Right? Yeah,
we
yeah.
got pushed.
You
a
got
lot.
Pushed all the way. Yeah, that's right.
We
that's
got
right.
pushed all the way from D to G.
That's right. Yeah, it was like, and there still can't be in this one. Okay. Let's get your two thoughts real quick. I'm assuming both of you are voting Luminosity out of this one, but let me rephrase this question for you two. Ven, out of these three teams, SUL, Time to Shine, and Team Tamarin, which one do you think poses the biggest threat to Luminosity?
I will rank them in order.
Okay.
Time to Shine, SAUL, Tamarin.
Okay, cool.
Meme on
not
India as
a
region
interesting.
A lot.
I said not a lot of faith in Tamarin, but yeah. Okay,
yes.
Interesting.
I meme on India as a region a lot because, frankly, they deserve it. But SAUL, relative to the strength of their region, like if we're just talking pure like skill gap between first and second seed, SAUL takes that cake.
Really?
Holy cow.
Okay.
Even though they did drop, like, even though they did win from losers, to be honest, the series that they lost in winners was very scuffed.
Okay.
They did not look like the worst team in that series.
Mm-hmm.
I like just flat out, I think that SAUL is relative to the strength of their region, the best team at this tournament. But I also think that even that being said, Time to Shine is scarier overall.
Okay.
And yeah.
All right. So, okay. But obviously, so Time to Shine, second place team. Junkie, how about... Why am I even asking you, Junkie? Junkie, how's your heart?
I was actually like having a heart to heart with Keck before he went off on play to China, and he's like, "Oh, like how are you feeling?" And I'm just like, "I'm just gonna be sad no matter what happens."
Yeah.
So it just like, unless Tamarin or Seoul get out, then I'm angry. But like,
sure.
I'm just gonna be sad no matter what for that first day. I also think Time to Shine, I think I know better than anyone what they're capable of, what they've been trained to do, how strong their fundamentals are. And I think their Rayquaza gameplay is really, really strong. Mm-hmm. And I think if people are going to go there sloppy without a plan, that is like something that I would say was like part of our core. Because when we had two or three new teammates every single month, like we needed some sort of core to kind of build around and get people into kind of our ecosystem. And I would say the way that we taught people how to play around objectives was like one of the key things that I really spent a lot of time doing, especially even with Gek and Shelvin.
Okay.
And I think with how important Rayquaza is, sometimes it doesn't matter how dominant you are in the early game. You just matters who plays Ray. If you face check a bush, because hey, guess what? You're anxious or whatever. Like those sort of things will be punished by them.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like I said, kind of at the top of the podcast, this is the scariest part of Worlds for me, without a doubt. And I, yeah, I'm going Luminosity, Time to Shine second, and then I will go India, Japan in that order.
Okay. I think those are really good thoughts for being people who are employed by Luminosity.
Luminosity famous for playing extremely clean Rays and never throwing.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, unironically, like, yeah.
The polar opposites. The polar opposites of these teams.
I'm not going to, like, yeah, that was, like, one of the funny things that, like, when I told them I was joining LG, that was, like, one of their funny comments. They're like, oh, like, we suck at early game. They're excellent at early game. We're pretty good at Rays. They throw at Rays. It'll be interesting to see what you can do. I'm like,
right, yeah. We have the two biggest differences. That's really funny. Okay.
It is funny.
Dupes next, let's talk about Group G, because obviously there's two votes in for Luminosity already. I think that the only team I would consider to be close to Team Luminosity would be Team Time to Shine. I think the differences in style you just mentioned, Junkie, are our style, weaknesses, whatever you want to call them, I think are an interesting thing to talk about between these two teams. However, with like Lundaru being in Japan for so long and them not having great practice up until this point, I really don't know if it'll be super close after that. Like, I think this team is extremely talented, but like Shelvin said, unfortunately, they get Overlord in groups 2 years in a row. That's a tough spot.
What are
to
the
be.
Fucking odds of that? I'm sorry. 2 years in a fucking row, bro. I thought I was safe. I'm like, oh, I'm joining LG. Like, you know, there's no way. Like, we already did this last year.
Yeah. Yep. Nope. Brutal. So yep. I'm going to vote for Team Luminosity, but Dupes next. Any thoughts towards Group G outside of that one?
No shakeups for me. Just one last point I want to add about Group G. Some of the biggest stage demons are all in that group, two of which are on Time to Shine. I've never seen somebody or two players transcend more than Shelvin and Gek at EUIC at the AOS Cup. They like, it was ridiculous. Like it was like, you know, angels in the outfield type stuff. Like they were just getting lifted out of their seat. It was insane. So I do think that's something that's a very fun aspect of these teams playing on stage or playing, you know, in a big environment. If these teams can get on stage, I think they really can flip it up to another level. And of course, on Luminosity, Curios is an absolute animal. We saw that in NA, who I am. Probably had the best series out of anyone on LG, was like the consistent factor in that team and elevating their game to a degree that we haven't seen all season. So that's just something that's a fun aspect that I'm looking out for specifically in Group G. In terms of ranking them 1 to 4, I'm going to echo exactly what Ven and Junkie said. Luminosity, Time to Shine. Is that just supposed to be Seoul Esports? Whatever, doesn't matter. Team Tamarin in fourth. There you go.
Reading esports names are sometimes like trying to read license plates that you see, and you're trying to interpret the meaning.
Or like Wingdings. It's like, oh, I just typed an entire book report in Wingdings.
Four of us predicted Luminosity to get out of Stooms.
Oh no, you're cursed.
Technically say
we're gonna get all my gas, bro.
Did we technically explicitly say it, though? I feel like Zoinks just assumed that's what we would say.
Oh, believe what you want, Junkie. All right, Group H. Also, I don't know if you saw the name I gave the group. It's pretty small lettering on the screen that you're looking at. No, I named Junkie's Group Heartbreak. G Junkie's Heartbreak. I think that is
it's
maybe
true. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's valid. Thank you for honoring that.
Okay, Group H. We have only three teams in this group, so I think, therefore, we could probably call this an easier group to make it out of. I don't think anyone would disagree there. We have Entity 7, Kumu, and FS Esports. I'm going to start the discussion here. I think Entity 7 is a genuine contender for top three in the world. I believe that because of a couple of players who I think are extremely talented at the game, and they haven't gotten the chance to play on LAN client yet, and I think that is going to make them explode. So I am choosing Entity 7 kind of with flying colors in this group selection. Also, with Ven's not amazing review of India in their VOD review of FS Esports, I'm not really going to give them the vouch, and Team Kumu is, I believe, Team Cake... Oh, this is old guys. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I messed that up, everybody. Thank you for chat for telling me. But yeah, Akumu is old guys, and then UD Vest1 is Cakealock. Formerly Cakealock then. So, my apologies. But anyway, Entity 7, old guys, FS Esports. I'm saying E7, Entity 7 all the way. Dupes next. Why don't you jump in on this one next? What are
yeah,
you doing?
Name this group 777. Las Vegas lucky. Entity 7 getting a free ride out here. I do think I agree with you. I think they're very good. Well, no, it's only 3-7s. It's come on. Don't why are you doing this?
I don't know. Just thought it would help. I'm sorry.
I've never heard Jupstack so disappointed in Zoinks before in my entire life.
Really? I hear it every day. Anyway, here we go.
I will say, similar to the Eichlin season one story, I do like the old guys we're just hanging out and we kind of got here type vibe. That's a lot of fun to me.
That is a fun vibe.
So that is, of course, a great storyline I will kind of pay attention to, and he too in Group H. But I do think Entity 7 is a cut above.
Okay. Yeah, Danily fighting for the old guys. Sorry, Danily. We just do not believe. We do not believe. Ven, how about you? How are you feeling?
They need to play, like... You only need to play one of these best of threes because, like, old guys can upset E7, but, like, the other two best of threes don't even need to be played. I think my average player has one talent of
the FS. One game matters in this group, but yeah, okay. I see what you're saying. All right, fair enough. Junkie, how about you?
Oh, well... I can't break my...
Just do it with the other hand. Seven. Just do it with the other hand. No, seven. Do it with the... Just do it normal with the
wait,
other hand.
Wait,
no,
do look, it normal, he says.
But look, it's doomed. If I do it this way, it's still... But so I have to, like, twist my arm.
Do it
seven.
Normal.
Seven.
Good Lord.
I don't...
I can't
seven.
Believe the
oh,
easiest group...
My normal.
I can't
seven.
Believe the easiest
yes.
group has zipped us up in a body bag as hard as Group H just did. Good Lord.
Okay.
You can tell we're 90 minutes into this thing.
Deadly, if old guys are surprisingly qualified, why couldn't they have better competition against MYS and Omo? You know, that's all I'm saying. Okay, let's all right, so our votes here are Entity 7. So, a quick recap for those of you who are just listening and don't have the visual in front of you. Group A, which I named the parody group, is going to be Secret Ship, making it out by our votes. Group B is whoever beats Nouns, the group. We have RRQ, or Rex Requiem Quion. I probably said that so wrong. Group C is called The Bloodbath, but not the way you think it is. And then it's Tally Bobo Believers in the first seed being chosen out of that one. Group D is Trainer Diff, and that is Amaterasu. Group E is, I believe I said the True Group of Death. Is that what I said? Yeah, True Group of Death. Mm-hmm. And we have TTV making it out of that one. F's in chat is Group F with OMO Abyssinian. Junkie's Heartbreak is Group G with Team Luminosity. And Group H is 777 because of a lucky Las Vegas reference. And Entity 7 will be making out of that group. Yeah, that is our predictions. I feel pretty solid about these. I mean, I think I got mostly what I wanted. So that's gonna feel pretty good in my department. But yeah, chat, make sure you let us know if we're really wrong on any of the groups. I think we're probably going to get a lot of Nouns people coming after us for that one. But other than that, I think these are making a lot of sense. Let's pivot. We're going to start closing out the show here in just a couple of minutes. But I did want to ask just a few more. Let's call them rapid fire. We don't have to be too rapid. You could have a bit of a discussion around it. Just a few more choices that we have. Of course, we all need to make personal predictions about who is going to win the world championships. Who do we all have taking the entire thing home? I'll start. I have Tally Bobo Believers being the favorites to win the entire thing. Dupesnacks, how about you?
Oh, yeah, same, actually.
Wow, cool. Junkie?
Time to shine.
Time to shine. Shout out, shout out. Ven?
What?
yeah. No, you're right. That is the proper response to what was said earlier. But yeah, go ahead and say your personal prediction.
It took a second to process that. I just threw that in real quick.
And of course, chat, yeah, like, please let us know as well. I'm seeing a lot of LG3s. And yes, Bridget, yeah, don't LG. Worry, we'll do top three.
LG. I was like gonna do the stupid hedge bets thing where I'm like, yeah, we'll get third. And if I'm right, if we get third and I'm right, then I'm happy. And if we get first, then I'm pleasantly surprised that I have it. No, I'm just gonna say we're getting first.
Okay. All right.
Back to back.
I'm actually just gonna bring this up now. We are going to do our predictions on the actual Unite Mike's account. So in first place, we have two votes for Tally Bobo Believers. So I think we can pretty easily choose that team.
I love this.
To be in first place. There we go. Man, look at how well I'm getting griefed, our podcast man. Is.
I love where this is going. Yep.
Okay.
LG?
Our second one, I mean, I assume it's LG yes. For second place, since we have a couple of, well, have one vote and then one kind of vote. Yep, now, yep. In group, in our
time to shine, baby! Time to shine!
Oh. Me when I predicted impossible outcome.
Yes, time to shine. Just tweet this with no context.
This is not going on Twitter, but anyway, here we go.
Screenshot it.
The rules that I presented and made up just now, dude.
You're right.
Thank you.
You're right.
I appreciate the overwhelming support in comparison from before. but this is great.
There were too many sevens, Zoinks. There were too many fucking sevens.
It was a cartoonish amount of sevens. It was like a ludicrous amount of sevens.
I'm never going to recover. Why is there a chapel? Why is Gamma starting a chapel? Who gets there? Time to shine or LG? Okay. I don't know. I'll vote. Cool. Okay.
What? Sure. I'll vote.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
It's already been decided.
Cool. Okay. So we have our top three selected. We've wrote it down on a stone tablet and a chisel. We have our group predictions. Those have already been done. Thank you. That was so much fun, yeah. Everybody. The last thing I wanted to know, as we did our picks for to win the tournament, let's also just throw in a dark horse. Everybody say a dark horse team to win the entire tournament. I already gassed up Entity 7 a ton, so I may as well double down on Latin America North being the upset potential. I'm going to throw my hat in with them. I'm really going all in on this team, but they are going to be my dark horse them, and if I had to choose a second, it would be Orangutan. Ven.
My dark horse is oh man, how spicy do we want to get?
I mean, as spicy as you want. I kind of like played it safe because I know Entity 7 is going to make it out of their group. Spicy. So like at that
I'm going to chug the straight hot sauce. My dark horse is Tally chokes a random game at 0-0, somehow makes it out of the group and then wins Worlds.
Hell yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I know Mazo's streaming. We are looking for that raid, so good call. Thank you, Ven. Deuce next, if you could give your dark horse vote as well, that'd be great. Come to Brazil.
Dark, like, okay, so I'm gonna go with a true dark horse here. I'm gonna have to go with Team Peps. I think I've called them as my dark horse in every event I've had the availability to, and I'm gonna stick with it. Sick. I really like those players, that team, and I'm hoping they're hitting a fever pitch at the right time here.
Cool. Deuce next, if they win, who's your MVP on that team?
Oh, if they win, Marv.
Marv, let's go. Yeah. Okay, Junkie, have you said your dark horse yet?
I have not said my dark horse.
And then Ben, we'll come back for your MVP on that one. But yeah,
my dark horse will be Time to Shine for multiple reasons. Okay. One primarily being, if you look at all the logos of the team, that is a black rooster, which is pretty close to a black horse. dark horse.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? So I feel like there's something there, and also I designed it, so I'm a little partial.
Okay, no problem. How many sevens do I need to put on screen for that?
My favorite. Hold on. Can we? While we're talking about sevens, can we talk about the legend Bridget with? I can't wait to go to Vegas and win with my 777777777, which is just like an amazing shout. So
if Bridget, anyone is in chat at Worlds, I need you to do one of those signs in the crowd with like your phone or something, and it's just scrolling sevens. Yes. I just see scrolling sevens endlessly.
Yeah. 16 people in a row with pieces of paper that have three sevens on it. So we are just countless number of sevens. Here's a fun story about Bridget. Bridget, I hope you don't mind. Uh-oh. Bridget and I, through an exchange of circumstance, found out that we actually used to live very close to each other. And I was like, that's dope. Like, my wife and I are always going out. You should just come out and we'll like meet up and have a good time. And then she literally goes, yeah, cool, man. And then moved across the effing country.
Oh,
literally goes, I'd rather like die in Wyoming. Mm-hmm. I am leaving this place. Goodbye. And just that's bailed. So I don't know what that says about Bridget, but I think we all know what that says about me. I'm the worst, apparently.
Yep. Bestie, I did.
Dodge Snacks. Out. That's Bridget's new name.
Dodge Snacks. Hashtag Dodge Snacks. That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Okay, Ven, your dark horse was, remind me one more time.
0-0.
0-0. Who is the MVP on that team if they win it?
Baby Mazo, of course.
Baby
Mazo. He's the team captain. He's the best mechanical player. He's insane.
Okay. Okay. I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. If I'm going with Entity 7, it's obviously going to be Reggie. I've already definitely given them some premium guests. If we're going with an APAC West team, Tempest on the Snorlax is going to be Blossom levels of Snorlax again. I'm calling it now. It's going to be fun. Okay. I think that's pretty much all the questions
what
I wanted
to ask. What
about
my MVP, Zoinks?
I thought it was the rooster. Did I get that wrong?
But who designed the rooster?
Junkie designed the rooster. That's
and
right.
Who coached that team for? So Junkie's MVP. I'm not even on the team. I'll get MVP for the team.
All right, I like it.
If the rooster's getting MVP, it's Sheldon because that man is obsessed with Talonflame.
That is true. Correctly, I might add. Okay. Awesome. Well, I think that is going to bring us to the end of the show. We're already well over time, so thank you everyone for hanging out with us, and the three of you for bearing with my long-windedness. But we are going to come to the end of the show, which of course is our time to sell out, shout out, and plug whatever you would like. So why don't we kick it off with you, Ven? Anything to like I said, sell out, shout out, the stage is yours.
Let me think for a second. I don't really have anything this week.
Okay.
How about shout out to Unite Esports, or not for Unite Esports, to Play Pokemon for actually putting out co-streaming rules.
Yeah.
So people don't have to sit there and wonder if their stream's going to get DMCA taken down. So you can watch your favorite streamers legally stream Pokemon Unite Worlds.
That's sick. It's been a long time coming for the Pokemon world as a whole. Obviously, Unite, we expected a little early, but it's great. We got it now. Junkie, how about you? Anything to sell out, shout out, anything
I
like that?
I love when Nintendo and Pokemon remember the internet exists. It's always a good time. Twitter, at JunkieGS, Medify, at JunkieGS, Twitch, mm-hmm. at JunkieGS, but I don't stream, but I have really good emotes. Support all the Luminosity boys, Elo, Jungle Book, Kyrios, Rin, / Overlord, give them follows, and then my Time to Shine brothers and sister, Chelvin, Gek, Auk, Lunder, where if you're in Japan and there and you see any of those players, take selfies with them and send them to me. That will make my heart so happy. Aww. And make sure to tune in. Are Unite mics? No, can me and Laz use your channel and co-stream Worlds?
Probably not.
I
respect the hustle for asking us live, but I will say that's probably a no. Oh my gosh.
I'll shout out Ven stream. We may do something there then.
Okay, great. Yeah. It's like, why am I implicit?
Yeah, if I'm not
this?
At work.
Yeah, whatever. Dupe Snacks, how about you? Anything to sell out, shout out, anything like that?
Yeah, of course, everybody can co-stream, but really, Unite Mics is going to have the two Unite Mics people that started it here on the official broadcast. So it'd be kind of sick if you also, you know, kept the tab open on that, maybe. Yes. That being said,
mute the tab, not the Twitch stream. It doesn't count you as a viewer if you mute the stream. Only mute the Google tab.
Yeah, and you can also have up to three Twitch streams open and still be counted as a viewer for all three. Artificially inflate Unite's numbers.
Then she is pushing up her glasses right now.
We need them.
But in all seriousness, the thing I will plug is our emote initiative. If you do subscribe to our channel, we donate the money at the end of every month. Of course, that gives you access to our emotes, and it is awesome and always very cool to see those flying in the official UCS Twitch chats as a quick way to just let us know, hey, we're here, we support you, we appreciate it. So it goes a long way for us and just kind of validating what we're doing. But of course, we don't keep any of the money. We donate at the end of every month. So this channel does not make any money. It all goes to different charities that we select at the end of each month. For the month of July, it was the Trevor Project. August, we haven't decided where we're going with that, but great opportunity to get those emotes and spam them in chat and follow at Unite Mics on Twitter, X, whatever.
Internet's burning. It's fine.
Your favorite podcast platform.
Yes, or your favorite podcast platform. Of course, Spotify or Apple, that'll take that plug. If you're already listening on a podcast, please rate and review us. It helps us so much in terms of more people finding the show. I'm sure you've heard this before if you ever listen to a podcast, but it really is fantastic. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please comment down below what group you think is the craziest group that is going to be at the World Championships. And of course, please tune in to twitch.tv/UniteMics. Leave the tab open, whatever. I can't wait. Worlds is going to be so, so fun. It's going to be crazy. So much competitive Unite. It's actually going to be amazing. It's going to be a big celebration of this competitive esport that we all really, really, really love. So it's going to be fantastic. And then that's the last thing I'll bookend with. I don't know when the next Overdunk episode will be. It'll probably be a post-Worlds episode, which means that next week we will not be having a podcast episode, just because flights to Japan and all things like that, and then flights back from Japan will also get tricky. So we might be taking a couple of weeks off, but please still love us. Anyway, cool. All right, we'll see you all next time, whenever that is. Bye-bye. Oh, tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern, we're literally we're literally doing a VOD review of Latin America North. Please tune into that. It's going to be great. Anyway, goodbye, everybody. I'm sorry.